So just to wrap up really quick, I mean, I could talk to you for hours, but if we're, but I, it looks like the Congo's still under war. And I was watching something. I've been trying to read and understand as much as I can before I go there. But it looks like they're still at war. And one of the things I saw was that there's a gang, I guess, or
M23.
Mm-hmm. But the thing I was watching said that they get money, that group gets money from the Rwandan government. Is that, do you know anything about that?
So, they don't get money from the Rwandan government. Okay. So this is what happens is, in the Congo, the Rwandan speaking Congolese, because the language that is spoken in Rwanda, remember when I said they divided Africa, they didn't take care of the social groups, they divided Africa for their own, the Congo for their own good, their own mm-hmm. reason. Congo is the only one country that has many neighbors. There's 9 countries that touches the Congo. And they did that because at that time they wanted to make Congo to be a free trade center. The colonial power wanted, and that's the reason why they didn't even give Congo to any country. It was given to the King Leopold II of Belgium
okay.
as his own property. And the idea was it would be a trading center where they can do their trading in the Congo. They would be able to connect to any other countries in Africa. So when they divided Congo, and so they didn't, some of the Rwandan speaking population became Congo. And now in the Congo, the government and other militia groups in the Congo, by the way, there is more than 150 militia groups that have been operating since 1994 till now, including those they are called the Interahamwes. These are the people that were trained to kill the Tutsis in Rwanda, and they flee into the Congo, and they're still there since then, trying to fight back. Killing the Tutsis in the Congo and trying to overthrow the Rwandan government. So now there's this group called the M23, which is a group that claims that they are fighting to protect the rights of Tutsis that are in the Congo that are being killed, because everyone believes that they should be sent to Rwanda. Because they claim that they are Rwandans, but they are not. When they divided that, they were one. I would say they are one people. I would say that one ethnic group that they divided them. They became on one side Congolese because they stayed with their land, and then the other side became Rwanda. As a country, they probably have they have the same culture, same language they speak, but the nationalities are different because of how they divided them.
How the Belgians,
the colonial power.
The colonials,
yeah.
Okay.
So they divided Africa, and that's how they did. So now, because the people, the M23 that is fighting to protect the rights of the Tutsis in Congo, then they speak also the language of Rwanda. Then the Congolese government think that Rwanda is supporting that movement. And because they speak the same language, it's very difficult to know who is who. I mean, right now, I'll give you an example. In Russia and Ukraine, there's people who are Russians of descent, but they are Ukrainians by nationality because of how they found themselves on this side, but they have brothers and it's the same thing. So that's why they believe that Rwanda is helping those rebel groups. Rwanda is a small country. They have their own problems. How would they go and waste resources to support a small group of rebels that are trying to survive?
Yeah.
Now, so that's what you would read all kinds of scenarios. They would say Rwanda is supporting them, but for me, who is from the area, for me who lived in Rwanda, and for me who is from the Congo, and from places where the war is happening now, for me who still have family members that are still in the Congo hiding in the bushes every day, I know Rwanda doesn't help them. If Rwanda would help them, Rwanda is known for the discipline of their military. The UN uses them in many other places to go and bring peace in Sudan, in Somalia, and in Haiti. They had the police forces in Haiti, Central Africa. Rwanda is known to have a good, disciplined military. If it was true, the war would end.
Okay.
The war would end. So that's one. The second, it's very complex. Since 1994, 1995 until now, there's more than 22,000 UN peacekeepers from 50 different countries in Congo trying to negotiate peace with everybody that is fighting, but they failed since 1994 up to now. Now, when problems are coming and you can't find a solution for the problems, the first thing that you think is to point a finger on someone else. I mean, that's just my point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But also believe that the international community has left Congo alone. If the Security Council decided we will send the biggest UN peacekeeping mission in the world, they've never had a such robust peacekeeping force in any other country. If they've been there for more than 30 years, and they've not been able to stop the killings that happen every day in the Congo, it's more complex than a tiny country like Rwanda.
Yeah. Yeah, this I don't even remember what it was, but what they were saying is that London won't say anything to Rwanda about supporting the M23 because London has a deal to ship refugees from London down to Kigali, and that is a beneficial arrangement for them.
Well, I mean, they would say, I mean, Rwanda and the UK, they are friends. It's a friend country, and most of the time, you are a friend of your enemy becomes your enemy. You can say anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a silly thing to think. Rwanda itself, it's a small country, is trying to help contribute to something. Congo is a big country.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Big country. Why can Congo help? and welcome those people that need help. Now, the UK is trying to resolve a problem, and they found a way of resolving a problem is to these immigrants that go there undocumented, in the US they call them undocumented, then they go and seek asylum in UK, and UK decided, well, in order for us to discourage people to come, we need to be sending them back to Africa. It's a mechanism of trying to discourage people to take the route. It's a very tough route to come from Africa to Europe. And so then they think, well, if we go there, instead of putting them in our jails here, or then we'll send them to back to Africa. So then it's not worth it to take that dangerous journey to go. So that's what the reason behind it. It wasn't really about the Congo.
Okay.
And how many we're talking about. I mean, it's not a huge amount of people.
Yeah.
Rwanda cannot receive...
It doesn't look very big.
Yeah.
So, okay, real quick. At the Refugee Center, how many refugees are you working with on average?
On average, I would say on our caseload, we have about 150 ongoing. But we resettle, we used to resettle 300 refugees every year. Now, we are resettling 200 refugees every year.
From all over the world?
From all, so we have Ukrainians, Cubans, Haitians, Afghans, the Congolese. We have Eritreans, we have Sudanese, we have Burmese, Iraqis, Iranians. Wow. So it's broad from all corners of the world.
That's cool.